Hello and welcome to the Lantern Football Podcast. I'm Dan Herbiner. On the docket this week, we got a quick recap of Ohio State's 55-14 win over the Fighting Illini of Illinois. We got a quick rundown of the current playoff rankings as they came out this weekend. Not a lot of shakeup though, so it'll just be quick. And we got a extended preview of the Ohio State-Michigan State game this weekend, which people have been looking forward to for a long time. But before any of that, my partner sitting across from me, Colin Hassel, how are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to this Michigan State game. As you said, everyone is looking forward to it, and they are totally right because this is going to be the season, make or break. Everyone's talking about the playoff. They want to analyze it and right now, but there's really no outcome that you can have right now because this is the game.
Agreed there, but before we do that, we do have to talk about Illinois just real quick. Ohio State, of course, with a big win, 55-14, 48-0 at one point in the third quarter. They pulled JT Barrett at halftime, which I thought was interesting, but makes sense going into a big game against Michigan State. Did you have any overriding feelings about this game?
Yeah, I don't even think that's questionable, to be honest. It made so much sense with his entry the previous week. Curtis Samuel came in the ball game and started completely unlike the previous weeks with Ezekiel Elliott. I know last week I had said that I wanted to see more of him because, once again, we have had our ongoing debate about those two, and he looked back to the Curtis Samuel that we had seen earlier in the season. But Ezekiel Elliott lighting a fire under him, potentially, by Urban Meyer, you think?
Maybe. I don't totally know that he needed it. He's had good performances even against Penn State when the offense struggled. So I don't know if he necessarily needed it. I think maybe Curtis Samuel needed a little bit of confidence, and that's why he let him start this game. But other than that, I didn't really take much away from it. Like you said, the JT Barrett being pulled at halftime, that's something that I don't care about. No. I mean, it was a good idea, but
he didn't look particularly great in the first half either, unfortunately. I mean, his stats were 15 for 24 for 167 yards, averaging 7 yards a completion, threw 2 TDs, didn't throw a pick. I mean, he's had better numbers in previous weeks and he's played better, to be honest. This is not his best performance, honestly. I didn't really think so.
I didn't think so either. He had a couple balls that really sailed on him, and there were open receivers that he missed. And this upcoming week, you're not going to be able to do that. However, the Ohio State defense held the Illinois quarterbacks to a combined 9.7 QBR. That's not very good. 2.5 yards per carry, also not very good.
Nobody
really expected
Illinois to go out too much. The defense dominated. They did exactly what they have in the previous weeks. They got 2 more turnovers. The defensive line dominated. I really liked a few times because Illinois had the worst. They had the worst offensive line in terms of pass protection coming into the game, and obviously Ohio State has Joey Bosa and company. So they went to those wide receiver screens at one point, and the corners just shut them down. They looked super physical, and it was really impressive. I know Eli Apple had 2 tackles for loss just on those screens alone.
So the defense played very well that game. The offense was adequate. Moving on to the playoff rankings, just came out yesterday. Not a lot of movement except Ole Miss, who was third, gets bumped. Ohio State jumps 2 spots with a couple of losses ahead of them. However, Arizona State was a mover. They jumped all the way from 14 up to 9. They jumped a couple teams. Ole Miss with 2 losses still remains ahead of Ohio State. I don't know exactly if I have any issue with that. Ohio State at 14, if I forgot to mention it. They jumped too, but
yeah, so from a national perspective, I think this poll is semi-interesting, and it gets really interesting next week since there's so many good teams playing. We got Notre Dame, Arizona State, TCU versus Kansas State, Alabama, LSU. But right now, as we stand, it's just not that interesting nationally or for Ohio State's perspective. OSU's the last-ranked one-loss team behind Nebraska and Baylor, and also the 2-loss Ole Miss. But I really don't have a problem with it right now.
I don't at all. And when you're trying to make up ground, I think it's kind of like running in quicksand when you're trying to make up ground when you fall back like that, because you only get one game a week to showcase it, especially if you're not playing good teams. So nobody's shown any respect for Ohio State, rightfully so. We'll see what happens in the upcoming week. But nothing really interesting other than 1, 2, 3, and 4 are Mississippi State, Florida State, Auburn, and Oregon.
Yeah, we're really going to know it next week, obviously, with Michigan State. I think, personally, that they'll jump up to 8. That would make sense to me. Possibly 9. And at that point, it's just that Ohio State would have to win out. But that's That's just throwing out that Ohio State would beat Michigan State, and so let's move on to that game because that's what everyone's talking about both here and nationally.
Yeah, Michigan State comes into this game 7-1. Their only loss to the fourth-rated Oregon Ducks, 46-27. Their team comes in rated 5th in the nation in scoring offense, 9th in the nation in yards per game, 1st in time of possession, which I will touch on later on. And they allow the 3rd least sacks. Those were the offensive stats. A lot on defense, but let's touch on the offense to start it off.
So Connor Cook's the man everyone knows about on the Michigan State offense. He's thrown for 1,800 yards and has 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and he has a 60% completion percentage. But their running game is really where they make their money because they've run the ball 382 times compared to 230 passing attempts. And Jeremy Langford and Nick Hill are their two big backs, averaging over 5 yards a carry, 16 touchdowns between the two. How is Ohio State going to stop them?
Well, the defensive line obviously has to have a big game, both rushing the passer and stopping the run, something that they've done very well as the season's gone on. I think that if you look at the discrepancy in carries to passing attempts, Michigan State's been leading a lot in the games that they have played and so far this year, but so that will lead to more rushing attempts just by virtue of trying to run the clock down. But in a game where they were trailing most of the time, 47 attempts by Connor Cook against Oregon, I think they'll have to throw the ball more so than they have before, which will open up opportunities for Joey Bosa to get after the passer and maybe to bring some blitzes. But offensive line is very good at protecting the quarterback, so we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a tall task.
This Michigan State team is just so impressive at every single area. Their one wide receiver to pay attention to is Tony Lippett, who has 42 catches for 889 yards. Their second receiver only has 16 catches, so he really is their guy on offense. But I mentioned stopping the run, and personally, I think that's something that Ohio State has done really well. Like they've impressed me thoroughly, and I think that's one of the areas where they're gonna really succeed against Michigan State, regardless of the fact that the Spartans have a great, great running game. So where do you think Michigan State is going to attack the Buckeyes?
I think they'll try and do it through the air. If you look at a breakdown of Connor Cook's stats in big games, so that would be last year against Ohio State and Stanford and the Big Ten Championship Rose Bowl, this year against Oregon, and then at home against Nebraska. He had 3 good games in a row against Ohio State, Stanford, and Oregon, in which he had over 60% completion percentage, over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns or more each game. But then when he came against Nebraska, he only threw 29 times for 11 completions, only a 38% completion percentage, touchdown on a pick. So I think they're going to try and go after him through the air, but I don't know.
I think they should, too. I really do.
I do, too, but I don't necessarily know if Connor Cook is all that right now. I think people didn't know about him and were more focused on the ground game a year ago, and that's why he had big stats. And he's a good player, don't get me wrong.
He's really risen lately, especially I know among those NFL draft experts, because he really wasn't on their radar, and he moved himself into a first round grade, I know, although he said he's coming back this next year. So I know earlier you wanted to touch on time of possession. What did you have to say about that?
Well, something that I've touched on as a key for a couple of underdogs throughout the year in previous podcasts is that if teams possess the ball well against Ohio State, they have had success. And I think Michigan State, first in time of possession, if they can possess the ball a lot, that's not going to help the Buckeyes. And the Buckeyes aren't necessarily a big play offense anymore. So I don't think there will be as big a discrepancy because they're going to move the chains. But I think that's a big factor in this
game. And something that correlates to that is the field position battle, because Ohio State is They have had great field position this year with Cameron Johnson as their punter. But if Michigan State drives the ball down the field, has those long drives, that's not going to put Ohio State in great field position. They'll get the ball back near their 20-yard line. They'll have to drive the ball. They'll have to get after Michigan State's defense. So if we want to move on to that, How are the Buckeyes going to compete with
this? This is an extremely talented defense with a lot of star power all over it. They're 5th in the nation in yards given up per game, 6th in the nation in rushing defense, 7th in the nation in sacks, and 2nd in the nation in third down conversions. And
like you said, how do you beat them?
Moving the chains is going to be quite the tall task against this team. But like I said, they haven't played necessarily the best of schedules. I mean, they're on par with Ohio State. Granted, there's the Oregon game in there, and that's sort of an albatross on their own schedule in that Oregon put up 46 points, and they had 318 yards passing. So I think their stats are a little bit inflated based off who they played, but it's definitely going to be a tall task. They have a lot of very talented players, a lot of NFL talent on the defense.
So the one thing that really freaks me out about them is their pass rush, because they are not going to have to send the house like Virginia Tech did. They are going to get pressure with four guys, and I am not 100% sure that Ohio State has the wide receivers to beat that, and I don't know that they have the quarterback to beat that, honestly, right now. Yeah, no, that is very simple. They haven't looked great. They haven't looked great lately. I know that they've improved definitely from that Virginia Tech game, but I am not very confident right now. Give me some confidence. Why will the Buckeyes be able to combat their defensive line?
Well, if you look at Ohio State's just basically their stats this year, they're fourth in scoring offense and they're second in passing efficiency. So they have risen up since that Virginia Tech game, and we've seen a lot of teams bring the house at JT Barrett, and this offensive line has gotten better at protecting him, and he's gotten better as a passer. Obviously he had some struggles last week, but I expect those to be cleaned up, and he had struggles against Penn State, but he was injured. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect this team to get completely shut down. They found ways to move the ball against them a year ago, and honestly, it was a similarly talented defense a year ago. I'm not going to say more talented, but I think Ohio State has a very good opportunity to move the football. They're 14th in total offense. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They have weapons all over the place. As long as his offensive line is prepared to protect JT Barrett, that is
a huge key of this game. I mean, they're also going to be a key in the running game, because The Spartans have given up 95 yards a game, sits the nation rushing, but Ohio State comes in with Ezekiel Elliott. We've seen what he can do, and now Curtis Samuel is back. I'm excited to see the running game versus such a potent run defense.
I think so as well, and it's going to be difficult. I mean, Michigan State's leading tackler is a defensive back, so if they want to get the ball to the outside, it's not going to be as easy as it would be against any other mm-hmm. team, because they have very good tackling corners and safeties. So that's another thing to look out for on fly sweeps of Jalen Marshall and Dontre Wilson.
Interesting, because that's one of the things that you'd think if you got a really good pass rush, try and go side to side on them, use those sweeps like you just said, or those wide receiver screens like Illinois tried against the very good pass rush that Ohio State had last week. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case right here. It seems like the Buckeyes are going to have to try and beat them downfield. They're going to have to run it straight at Michigan State. Michigan State's going to know that they're going to come after them. But one thing that's going to be an X factor again is Barrett on the ground. He doesn't really get as much credit since he's such a better passer than Braxton. I'm not going to make that yet. But he is a good passer, and he had people say that they thought that he was a better passer, Michigan State people. Yeah, Trey Wayne, or who was it? There was the
Taiwan Jones.
Yeah, And I know Braxton just called him out on Twitter, so now we got some Twitter beef going.
Let's go. Urban Meyer acted like this was a huge game. He didn't seem he seemed very pumped up about this game, up to get another shot, because I was talking with you before the podcast. It seems like there's just been a negative perception around Ohio State ever since they went down against Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship, because they got exposed. They just did. That wasn't that good a team, and they got beat by a better team in Michigan State. And now the perception is that Michigan State is just the better team.
And it seems
now.
Like he knows that perception too. He's really trying to get it across to his players based on what he was talking to the media. I mean, he's really treating this as the game of the season, because he knows what the perception is going to be after this game. Ohio State can't win the big one. They beat up on the little guys, except for Virginia Tech. They lose to the big games, and they have to change that perception right here.
We'll see how it goes. It's definitely been an ongoing perception even since Jim Tressel's been here. And a couple years back, Urban Meyer was taking a game personally against Georgia when he was at Florida, and after their first touchdown, his team stormed the field. So if Ohio State storms the field, you know that Urban Meyer is really into this game.
Well, that would be a little embarrassing.
That would be. Another thing to watch out for, a little under the radar, is Michael Geiger, their kicker. He is 7 of 12 this year.
He is no Josh Nuremberger.
No, he is. Sean Nuremberger is the kicker for the Ohio State University. He isn't Josh Nuremberger either.
I was thinking Josh Lambert.
Josh, all right. Nobody understands
the reference. We have way too many kickers in our conversation.
Exactly.
Right now.
We're going to have to move on to keys to the game and predictions. So, Colin, why don't you kick off keys to the game for Michigan State?
So, my key for Michigan State and Ohio State are going to be they're going to be the same. Right. my key for Michigan State is the offensive line. They have to protect Connor Cook, first off, against Joey Bosa and friends. But also, I touched on earlier, I'm not 100% sure that they're going to be able to run the ball against Ohio State. Ohio State shut down the run very well this year. What is your key for Michigan State?
My key for Michigan State is if Mark D'Antoni can keep a straight face for the 48 minutes that the game goes on.
Yeah, okay.
So my key to the game for Michigan State would be for them to dominate the time of possession battle, which they've done so often this year. Like I said, it's been my key against Ohio State a couple other times. But as long as they can move the chains, I think during keeping Ohio State's offense off the field against a very talented defense, the more opportunities Ohio State gets against the defense, more likely they're going to score. So I think if Michigan State has the ball a lot, Ohio State's going to really struggle in this game. For Ohio State, however, it'd be easy to just say the offensive line because that is...
Well, it would be easy because that's mine.
Yeah. But I'm going to say running the football. They're going to have to run the football against this Michigan State team. And it's going to take more than just the offensive line as you roll your eyes at me. It's going to take these running backs making the right reads. And JT Barrett running the football as well, even if he has to tuck it down when he's trying to throw the football. But they need to do that, and they need to move the chains that way. Like I said, Michigan State is 26, giving up 26% third down conversions. That's pretty absurd when you think about it. So if Ohio State can turn the tables and convert some third down short seemed like it was an issue, especially against mm-hmm. Penn State. That's something that they really, really need to do. Third and three and shorter, they're going to have to move the chains against Michigan State. So why don't you give me your prediction so I can stop rambling?
Well, my key is the offensive line for Ohio State. I didn't touch on that earlier because we're really on the same page here, huh? But we actually are on the same page because I think that they really need to run the ball against Michigan State because they're going to have trouble just having JT Barrett stand back there against the pass. But once again, if they are forced to do that and the offensive line can protect, they'll have much better chances of succeeding against Michigan State's pass rush, which we know is going to be the best that they'll face all year.
Absolutely.
So my prediction, I'll move on there. I can't pick against Ohio State, right? I can't do it. There's no way I can do it.
If you want.
I don't want to.
You'll be kicked off the podcast. We'll find a new host.
All right.
It'll be the Dan and Urban podcast.
Ohio State 28-24.
Wow.
Without much confidence. So you can bring the confidence because I know it's coming. Go ahead.
52-17.
Just like Penn State.
No. This is going to be a very tough game for Ohio State, but as a lifelong Ohio State fan, I know you're a converted Ohio State fan. You're a Virginia or a West Virginia fan, moreover Ohio State. Well, but as a lifelong Ohio State fan, it is tough to listen to people talk about how weak you are week in and week out. And I think this is a big-time statement game for Ohio State, and Urban Meyer is taking it that way. So I'm going to pick Ohio State.
Bring the thunder.
Nah, I can't bring the thunder. Michigan State's too good. Ohio State 30-24. They win by 6 points. They jump to eighth in the poll. And
they get the under.
They get the under. Line in the game is 3.5. I take Ohio State. What do you think? Ohio State 3.5?
Well, I picked them by 4, so that's all you really need to know.
Absolutely is. So that will do it for the Lantern Football Podcast for this week. Big game coming up against the Michigan State Spartans, though. We will be watching 8 o'clock on ABC in East Lansing. Until then, for Colin Hossel, I'm Dan Herbiner. See you Saturday. Go Bucks!